He and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. One day, at about 3 p.m, he had a vision. He distinctly saw an angel of God who came to him and said, "Cornelius." Cornelius stared at him in fear. "What is it, Lord?" he asked. The angel answered, "Your prayers and gifts to the poor have come up as memorial offering before God. Now send men to Joppa to bring back a man named Simon, who is called Peter. He is staying with Simon the tanner, whose house is by the sea." When the angel who spoke to him had gone, Cornelius called two of his servants and a devout soldier who was one of his attendants. He told them everything that had happened and sent them to Joppa. As we gather together, Lord, we come before you, thanking you for all the blessings you have already given us, for your presence in our lives, for the provision you have given us, for your care for us and your great love towards all of us. And as we are here to listen in order to obey your word, we ask your blessing, your power, counting on your work amongst us, in us, and through us. With the forgiveness of our sins, we pray, amen. You please be seated. Cornelius, a man known by heaven. Verse 2 says, he and all his family were devout and God-fearing. He gave generously to those in need and prayed to God regularly. If someone would summarize your life story or my life story, what adjectives would they describe or would they use to tell about you? Luke, the doctor, the writer of the Gospel and as well the Acts of the Apostle, inspired by God, tells us the story of the conversion of a Roman centurion named Cornelius, a devout and God-fearing man. Cornelius was known, respected, and feared for his position within the Italian regiment, says him. And as a centurion of the Roman Empire, he commanded 100 soldiers of the Roman army. We know the Roman Empire was then the political force of that region, and the great man in charge of that power and political force to make the harmony in the region was the centurion. One kind of colonel, a general type. The text and context and the historian says that at Caesarea, there was a fort, an army of the Italy, and he was presented, quartered at that city, a strong city, lately redefined and fortified by Herod the Great, and named, called Caesarea in honor of August Caesar, was a strategic city. Actually, it would be like Toronto or Niagara, Buffalo, a way that other boats or navies could come easily and spread throughout the region. was a great place to have correspondences, letters from Rome to the old conquest colonies. So whoever was in charge had to be good, had to be powerful, had to be great. So it was a strategic place upon the seashore. Probably in that city, according to Acts 23, the proconsul or the governor would reside in that city as well. So that's why the nationals, the local, the Italian regiment would be there to protect the governor. And then we find this great man. But in here, nevertheless, we find a very rare combination of a great man and a good man. He's great because he's the centurion, the general. But he is good because the Bible says so. And that two things combined is a very, very subtle met. The history tells us that a centurion needed to be or to have some peculiar characteristics. Possessing iron hands or iron fists, be faithful to the emperor, not to relate affectively or morally to the dominated, because he has to be tough. Maintain the rule of the empire at all costs. Stop any contrary power or rebellion, and demand respect by force. That was the profile of a centurion, and was so Cornelius. In order to give orders, to command, and keep the peace. However, all those characteristics are not those that draw God's attention. Luke says, he was a religious man, and all the people in his house worshipped God. We don't know how, but that's what the Bible says. He helped the poor Jews and always prayed to God. So Acts 10:5 and 10:2 describe him like that. And that made all difference about this man. So today, for you and for me, because we are not there, we are here. We may be not in power as him, a great man, but maybe all of us could be a good man, a good woman. In order to live well and purposely, we need to be known by God, as Cornelius was, relating intimately with him, what he got later on, and be filled by him. So in order, you and I, live purposely well, we need to be known by God, relating, have a relationship with him, and be filled by him. So let us see these three interventions that shows how to get there. First, the intervention by God. I loved the first song, Heaven Come Down, Heaven Come Down. And that's what many times we need. You look around, there is no hope. You look, your circumstances are going bad to worse. Sometimes you are so weak, you don't feel kind of crying to others. But when heaven shows up, when God's presence is available, when God comes towards us, there is hope, there is change, there is future. First, Cornelius received this intervention by an angel. Second, Peter received this intervention by a vision. Neither the angel or the vision are the most important, or were the most important things, but they happened. But they were secondary to mean something else. But in both, heaven talks. A message comes from God. Those messages were important. Although Cornelius was a religious man, he did not know yet the Lord Jesus Christ as his Savior and Lord. Though he says Lord. He prayed to God. The Bible reveals that one day when he was praying to the Lord, an angel showed up and appeared to him. He was fearful. Wouldn't you be? I would. And then the angel talks, saying, God accepted your prayers, and the help you have given to the poor has not been forgotten. And he goes on to say that he should send some of his men to Peter, who was in Joppa. God somehow saw a sincere heart. And the Bible tells us when he sees something like that, he does not neglect it. He doesn't reject it. So, though he was an influencer man, though he was God-fearing man, though he regularly prayed to God and also brought his family, his extended family, his friends, soldiers, there is one that is devout as well, so the influence this man has and the power as great man, as good man, he only have the revelation or the general revelation about God. Maybe he have heard about Jesus and his disciples. Maybe one of his soldiers have been told him, oh, this has happened so and so. Maybe that's other soldier's son that was healed by Jesus had spread the news. My son was dead or was about to die, and Jesus did something. Somehow, the gospel reached, or the message of God, the good news reached this man's heart. They knew the Jewish religion, and he was a God-fearing man. But he had only the universe and the trees and the seas and the creation to speak about God. We know this revelation is good, but it's not good enough to save. Humans or humanity cannot go to God without the Son, Jesus Christ. Man and woman can search for God, can wonder about him, can acknowledge him in many various ways, can pray to him, that the Bible says, but they still need him to show up. We don't know how he got there. We don't know if he was in despair, if he was worried, if he was in trouble, if he was happy, if he knew that his army could destroy any Jews at any time. So he was praying regularly. And then this angel shows up, is sent, speaks up, and delivers a message. Your prayers and gifts have been heard, have been accepted for the memorial offering before God. Now, send men to Joppa and bring back a man named Simon, who is also called Peter. Only with that, this man is reaffirmed. This man is experiencing the greatest gift somebody would receive. Money cannot save you for the eternal condemnation. But grace through Jesus can. So, call Peter. Send man to Peter. He could have ordered that. He's in command. He's a great man. He could have said, even the angel, give an order, send your soldiers right away. But somehow, he says, send and bring. Invite Peter in to your life. So through Cornelius' prayer and dedication, this man is heard, is approved for the next steps. I don't know how that happened with you. Sometimes there is a pre-evangelism. Sometimes there are facts that is in your life preparing your heart to accept. Some reject. Sometimes it could be your parents telling you, be careful, red sign. Maybe your teacher. I remember one day, a boss who was male and chose to be differently, so we were not getting along very well that time because of that. I was very young, I didn't know how to be very respectful to him. He told me, aren't you a believer, a born-again Christian? He says, yes. So what? He says, you have been invited a lot of people to go to your church on this special missionary conference, and you are not going? He says, no, I have extra work over the weekend. So actually, I was avoiding going to the church because I was afraid to be cold as I got it. I want to be rich and maybe own that flight company. And my boss, who was not a believer, who had a different sex orientation, told me, I cover for you. You'll be paid. Go to your church. Yeah. Sometimes you don't understand. If somebody doesn't preach the word of God, the Bible says the stones are going to tell you about it. Actually, spiritually, but that's the exaggeration of the hyperbole of the Bible. But there are things sometimes pointing to Christ. And here, the angel shows up. Bring Peter. Invite him. Call him. And the Bible says that Peter received the same message. And then we come for this first application. Somehow, God sees us and hears us. We know that in the garden, God saw that Adam and Eve had sinned, were ashamed, went hiding from God, were naked, so God saw, heard them, and provided for them clothes immediately to cover their nakedness or nudity, and later on gave all of us real and eternal vests. Same in Egypt. They were oppressed. The Israelites were under suffering and oppression, being enslaved, mistreated, and killed. And God saw, and the Bible says, and he heard their crying. And he showed up. Keep praying, because God is listening. One can be known by God and still need help to get to know him personally. Then we come for the second intervention. The first intervention is from heaven. The second now is by Peter, the messenger. Peter is known by heaven. Okay, let's read it, sorry. About noon, the following day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up to the roof to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while the meal was being prepared, so he didn't eat. Some people say, oh, he ate too much. He had a nightmare or something like that. He didn't. He fell into a trance. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to the earth by its four corners. It contained all kinds of four-footed animals, as well as reptiles and birds. Then a voice told him, get up, Peter, kill and eat. Surely not, Lord, Peter replied. I have never eaten anything impure or unclean. The voice spoke to him a second time, do not call anything impure that God has made clean. Let's move on. Peter is known by heaven as well, but more than that. Peter is a man who knows God of the heaven and earth. It is good to know or hear about God, but it is even better to know Him. Peter knew God through Jesus Christ. He's a messenger of God and have a message to deliver. For his entire life, he learned about God, knew His word. One day, his eyes, ears, mind were open to see Jesus as the Son of God. I don't know if you always were like that. I wasn't. By the age of 20, I was completely blind, deaf to God. I remember once being asked about a few questions in the Bible. I confused Moses with Muhammad. You see how stupid or not knowledgeable I was? And then there was four questions. Who was the betrayer or the traitor of Jesus? Judas Iscariot, Judas Nazareth, Judas whatever. I chose something that was not the Judas. And I would confuse Jesus with Mahatma Gandhi or, yeah, I was blind. I could not see. I confused Santa Claus with God the Father. That was I was taught maybe when I was little. I kept that image. Every time I thought about God, I thought about that big guy in a throne with red clothes. So blind until somebody preached the gospel. I knew there was a God, but I didn't know him personally and through Jesus. So Peter understood that Jesus was born, lived, died, and raised from the dead to save people and change them in new creatures. Peter the apostle were Jesus' followers, disciples, and select and chosen to preach the gospel. At first, he was doing faithfully to the Jews because that what he believed was his mission. But then, with this vision, a turning point, a change of direction, from above, from heaven, from God. Sometimes we need that. He saw heaven open and something like a large sheet being let down to earth as with its corners, containing all sorts of animals or reptiles and birds, pigs and this kind of thing. And the voice said, "Get up, Peter, kill and eat it." So, Peter denied it at first. He tried to obey the law of purification, cleanliness. He was falling up to hear what God had told them not to do. But he got it, the message. I wouldn't. I would think was related with only food. Nobody tell us that an angel explained the hermeneutic of it. But in the vision, Peter gets a new understanding. There is a paradigm shift. There is a change of direction. Something new and completely different is about to happen. He understands now that the gospel is for all people and not only for the Jews, do we? Just as the food had its ritual or purification and sanitization aspect, what could be eaten, what could be eaten by faith, now he understands with God's purification, with God's blessing, with God's hand, with heaven showed up, with voice of heaven coming in him. Maybe everything is possible. Nothing more should be called impure with God cleanliness. Pig, pork, or animals, your preference, that's fine. But relating to people here, that's what Peter is understanding. There will be no prohibition of who can be saved, who can follow God. There is no such a sinner behavior or sinful nature that cannot be cleansed, purified. For Peter, the message was a turning point in history. It wasn't easy for him. He was sometimes called the attention by the other authorities, Christian authorities. But he understood the Christian faith would never be the same. From that day, the Christian faith would never be the same. The doors would be open. The gospel would be displayed to all people. There will be no Jew, no Gentile, Greek or Roman, poor and rich, male or female. For God now, the door is open. Faith would not be more restricted to a singular nation, ethnic group only, or people. From the Jews to the Gentile, from Jerusalem to Jakarta or Yan Java to the ends of the earth. Peter had a vision before eating, and he right away understood the message. He promptly obeys. The men are coming, searching for Peter. Do you know where he lives? Do you know where is this Simon Tanner home? But at the same time, and because there is authority here, there is also God's agenda to fulfill his will. In the same way God talked to Cornelius, he talks to Peter. And Peter hears the Spirit say, hey, three men are just at your door. Go down and talk to them. There is no coincidence. There is God's leading, God's agenda. Don't you think God has an agenda for you? Don't you think he has selected someone to visit you? One day, Leilani and I remember, we were in our home. That has happened, and I have told you many times. But that day, we received two missionaries and other friends with a purpose to the same Sunday after being here that we didn't invite in. They showed up, and they brought all message from God to us without being asking. God has an agenda for you to go, and maybe God has someone in his agenda, in his order or sending thing to you for maybe a need. Whatever were at stake at this point, here is the turning point. Peter did hear an amazing gospel presentation. So I don't know how to share the gospel. Just follow it. One of the best. Can we read from 34 to 43? I may read there because I can't read here. Then Peter began to speak. Now I realize how true is that God does not show favoritism, but accepts people from every nation, the one who fears him and does not what is right. You know the message God sent to the people of Israel, announcing the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, who is Lord of all. You know what has happened throughout the province of Judea, beginning Galilee after the baptism that John preached. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing good and healing all who were under the power of the devil, because God was with him. We are witness of everything he did in the country of the Jew and in Jerusalem. They killed him by hanging him on a cross. But God raised him from the dead on the third day and caused him to be seen. He was not seen by all the people, but by the witness whom God had already chosen, by us who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. He commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one whom God appointed as judge of the living and the dead. All the prophets testify about him, that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. And that was the message. The gospel is preached, and when the gospel is preached, salvation becomes possible. Applying for us. Do you know you have a message to give? Are you ready to go? What are the barriers or obstacles that are not allowing you to go into someone's life? I know I'm Canadian, but I'm not only Canadian. So some days it's easier for me to interact with other cultures. But we have the risk of being so polite, so educated, so gentle, that we are waiting our neighbor to look at us for us to say something to him. Maybe we've been so nice and respectful for the privacy of the others that we are seeing nice neighbors going slowly, slowly to hell. Maybe because the manners we were taught and they were good has somehow blinded us to move forwards the frontier, the border. Last week I was so happy because one, and that could be any of you, but one family invited two of my friends, two Brazilian friends who are new to the church, out of the blue, just when they were finishing up here, wrapping up the chairs. They say, "Hey, are you new here?" "Yes." "Who do you know?" "Oh, we know nobody except Marcin and Eleni because they are Brazilians." "Oh, where are you going to go have lunch today?" "No, we are good. Let's go home." So this one family brought these two other families to their home. That is great. Could be through that. Could be through other means. But we have to be bold and we have to hear the voice of God. We have to understand there are Cornelius waiting for you, for me. Maybe sometimes we are the Peters. Maybe we are the Cornelius. Maybe you are here thinking, "Who is going to come? I need help. I need the full gospel. Oh, I need attention. I need care." The heavens talks, then Peter talks, and finally God is talking through us. Third intervention, the Holy Spirit intervention, the God in us. So it's great when heaven shows up. It is necessary, mandatory, when a message shows up and preach the gospel. When that happens, salvation is possible. Lives are transformed. People can respond. People can be welcomed. People can reorientate their life. People can say, "Okay, still have hope." Like I said, by the 21, I had no hope. I was blind. I was going to hell. But that was not my thought. My thought was, my life has no purpose. My life has no meaning. And my danger was, why to live longer this life? So many of my classmates were like me in the age of 20. We have experienced the world. We have experienced some fame, some money, some success, but the life were empty. And a few of my friends passed away, and I was not far from that. But then the gospel is preached. And when the gospel is preached, God's intervention is even greater. God can visit. God can warm someone's heart that is cold. God can change the stone heart to a flesh heart. The greatest influencer or intervention here is coming from God, the Father, Son, and the Spirit. And this Spirit can change a person's life. While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Spirit descended upon all who heard the message. What would that be if I didn't even need to finish this sermon? I would have 70 minutes left. I would sit down and the Holy Spirit would do. Peter was preaching. He didn't do any appeal. He didn't say, "Hey, think about it. Hey, come down, repent." They did it in their heart. Holy Spirit shows up, transform their lives, give joy, forgive sins, change their darkness to light. All receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The same phenomenon that happened only first time at the Pentecost with the disciples that was in their room, now is happening with them. With that, Peter says, hey guys, they were in five or six, this kind of group, says, look what is going on. The same thing, the same visitation, the same power that came to us in that day that we were waiting for him. Is happening with them. Now, they could see, excuse me, too much water. I wish two more spirit. It was a direct and clean action of the Spirit that at this point, no one more needs help. Now the deal is sealed. The message preached now is in action, transforming lives. They believed in their heart, they were saved by Christ. And then Paul now says, now all the Gentiles can be added to the body of Christ, to the Christian church. And Cornelius, a Roman centurion colonel, is the first, pay attention, is the first that we know of from the Bible, with his family and friends, to be admitted at the Christian church. Now Cornelius becomes the first Gentile to be saved, and probably many others follow his lead. There was a need to hear the full gospel presentation and then the response. And in this case, they were first baptized with the Holy Spirit, and just after, according to the text at the end, to the water. In some extent, water baptism should be only performed in believers, those who understand the gospel, those who understand the cost of following Christ. People should meet God, or after being met with God, repent of their sins, confess, accept in their heart, they should be water baptized. The Holy Spirit visitation can happen anytime. And that sweet visitation from heaven can change anyone's life. The presence of God, the Emmanuel, now is in them, as well can be in us and through us. First they heard, second they felt, thirdly they speak. Those who didn't know God now know God, have God, receive God, felt God, now they speak. They are speaking in the same way. So they are worshiping, praising, preaching, we don't know. Now they do it. Concluding, the worship team can come to the front. Where are we in this map? Have you heard the gospel before? That Jesus came, lived, died, and was raised from the dead to forgive sins, to represent you? If you heard, did you believe in this gospel? How is our prayer lives? Have you been visited by God frequently? Once? Too long ago? Recently? Does the Holy Spirit dwell in your heart and has his access to you and you to him? How much do we feel commitment to him if we believe, if you received him as Savior and Lord, if you have received your Spirit, can he count on us to share and announce the gospel? Certainly, Paul, there are many Cornelius out there praying crazily or regularly or faithfully to God, a God they believe, but they don't know exactly. They might say, Lord, as he said, but they need the full gospel presentation. Maybe there are Peters here. Say, I can go. Where can I go? Pray, God, you show. Talk to us.
Talk to the leaders, to the elders. Maybe they know someone who needs a Peter. There are Cornelius homes that not necessarily are unbelievers. I'm a Peter. I've been sent many times. But let me confess you, today, my home is also a Cornelius home. Today, I need Peters. The other day, I was thinking, there is a brother in Brazil, his name is José Roberto. That's why my son here is named after him, José Victor. Bible José, and José Roberto is the inspiration for his name. I have invited him many times. He can't come. He doesn't have money to afford. He still needs to work as pastor, and he can't come. But I said, José, if you come, your nephew is going to hear you. Maybe you have a way to present the gospel. I can't. Maybe they hear it and they come back to you. Maybe you are in my situation. You need Peter. Maybe you come to the church, says to us, St. Peter's. Sorry about that. But I bring to Paul, and maybe you're a believer like me, you need Peter's. Maybe you are Peter's, you need to be sent. But the promise is here. When that happens, in God's agenda, people will be transformed. Salvation will come. People will be filled with the Holy Spirit. And they will be singing, praising, jumping, saying great things about God. God bless you.